Hey, Fellowship Church this morning. Boy, we've had a good service already, and we just encourage you to, if you're in the Tahlequah area, come out and join us. I know I'll have a lot of people that watch us on Facebook from Tulsa, where I grew up, a lot of Webster High School alumni and some other people, but we're glad you're joining us. We're glad you're here at Faith Fellowship, and we're going to be looking at Psalm 46 this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. We ask that you open our hearts to receive what you have for us today. Thank you, Lord, that your word is a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It's that sickle that breaks up the fallow ground, and it's the seed that goes down in and grows, encourages us, builds our faith. Bless this time, Lord, in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 46 is by some of the Bible scholars considered a psalm by Hezekiah after Isaiah encouraged him. And the encouragement, the story from the book of Isaiah, basically happens in this manner. The king of Assyria comes threatening the children of Israel, particularly Hezekiah. And he says some pretty intimidating things. Isn't it funny how the devil can intimidate us? And he says, the king of Syria's messenger says, you know, he says, Syria, or Assyria, I should say, the king of Assyria says to you, what God is going to save you from me? All these other nations that I've conquered, their gods didn't save them. They prayed to them, and we overcome them, and your God will be no different. And this bothered Hezekiah, obviously, and he was fearful, and God brought Isaiah to him and said to him, there's no need to be afraid, that I will take care of you. Not one arrow will fly in Jerusalem. And then, just as God had promised, he sent one angel. And in one night, one angel killed 185,000 Syrians. That's my God. That's the God we serve. And yet, sometimes we can get fearful. It's not a sin to feel fear. It's a sin to live in it. Amen? God gave us fear as an emotion, just like every other emotion. And we like the good feeling emotions. We don't like the bad feeling emotions. But God gave us fear so that if you are walking on a big giant cliff that drops down thousands of feet, it's healthy to have fear. It's a self-preservation fear. And so fear is not bad in itself. God gave it to us as an emotion. But it is bad to entertain it. It is bad to live there. The Bible is full of the fear nots all through the Old and New Testament. And so as Hezekiah got this message, according to church tradition, he's the one who wrote Psalm 46. It begins, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You know, a refuge is that place to hide in. Amen. We are to hide under the shadow of the Almighty, aren't we? Jesus said, O Jerusalem, how I wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you wouldn't let me. And so many people just don't let God be their refuge. They look to man for their help. They look to man for their strength. And what a horrible thing to forfeit something that is so much stronger than man. The scripture says, I will not fear. What can man do to me? When God is our refuge, what can man do to me? He can't do anything. Amen? He can't do anything. God is our refuge and our strength. And He is a very present help in trouble. You know, if you know someone who maybe has some money, you have financial problems, you might say, well, you know, I know this guy over here, and I've known him for years, and I can probably go borrow some money off of him. And you might pick up the phone to call him, and you might say, get one of those recordings that says, this number is no longer working. And then what are you going to do? Or you might say, well, I know my family will help me out, and thank God for family. And you may call your family, you may call your son or your daughter or your cousin or your brother, and they may say, well, you know, any other time I could help you, but I'm out of town right now, and I won't be in town for another week. And then what are you going to do? But the psalmist says that he is a very present help in times of trouble. I like that word present. You know, he told Moses from the burning bush that I am. He is not I will be. He's not I was. He is the I am God. He's an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, will we not fear? We will not fear. There's no reason to fear when God is our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. There is no reason to fear. I think that 2021, like 2020, will give many people an opportunity to be afraid. We don't know what's going to happen. I have no crystal ball. The Lord hasn't told me what's going to happen later this week, whether Trump will step down or whether they will fight it, whether there will be more riots in the street. It really doesn't matter what happens if the Lord is your strength and your refuge and a very present help in trouble. There will be no need to fear, regardless of what happens. Now the psalmist there, he didn't know what 2020 or 21 looked like, but he said, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. That sounds a whole lot worse than 2020, doesn't it? I don't know what the earth being removed. I guess it means the earth falls out from under your feet, I guess. Maybe like an earthquake. And he says, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, that would be one horrendous earthquake. And he says, therefore we will not fear. It doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter what earthquakes come. It doesn't matter what the political scenery looks like. Therefore, we will not fear. And though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And that Selah means just stop and think about it for a minute. Just stop and think, what would it be like if the waters begin to roar? And what would it be like if the mountains begin to shake? You know, I think of the story when the fishermen were in the boat and Jesus was fast asleep below. And a storm came up, a storm so fierce that experienced fishermen began to be afraid. These weren't ordinary men. These were men of experience. These were men who were fishermen. They knew what it was like to navigate in strong winds and waves. But they were terrified. I don't believe this was any normal storm. I believe it was a demonic storm. You know, God certainly can affect the weather, but Satan can too. And this storm, I believe, was demonically inspired. It was so demonically inspired, it made tough fishermen melt with fear. And Peter shook Jesus and said, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we're about to die? Now, that was not a statement of faith. That was a statement of doubt, fear, and unbelief, wasn't it? Don't you care? I mean, right there. I mean, don't you care? How many times have you cried in a prayer in a time of trouble and said, God, don't you care what I'm going through? We've all done that. We know what it's like to fear. We know what it's like to feel trouble and feel like God is asleep when we need Him so desperately. But I love that story because Jesus rebuked two people, or two things, I should say. He rebuked the wind, and then He rebuked Peter. And when we fear, we need a good rebuke from the Lord sometimes. Though the waters thereof roar and troubled, and though the mountains shake with fear, we don't need to fear. We do not need to fear. Because God is our refuge. He's our refuge and our strength. He's a very present help in trouble. Amen. Now, he goes on to say in verse 4, there is a river. Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit there. You know, Jesus told the woman at the well, if you knew who you were talking to, you'd be asking me, and I would be giving you living water. And on the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. As the Scriptures say, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water." And he was speaking of the Holy Spirit. And so the psalmist tells us there is a river. Aren't you glad, church, this morning there's a river? Amen. Aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a comforter and a guide, one called alongside? Jesus said, "It's expedient that I go to the Father, because if I don't go, I can't send this river." There is a river, church. The Holy Spirit of God sent to us to guide us, to keep us, to flow like a torrential flood of river through our spirit and our soul, to equip us and to strengthen us for these last days. There's no need to fear. There is a river. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High. Now, when you read the prophecies about the last days, when Jesus comes again, and He's coming very soon, He's going to set up His kingdom in Jerusalem. The temple is going to be restored at that point, and He's going to cleanse it. By then, the Antichrist would have committed his abomination of desolation. He'll cleanse it. And then something amazing is going to happen. Underneath the threshold of the door, a river of water is going to begin flowing, the Bible says, out of that temple. And it's going to flow into the Dead Sea, and it's going to make it alive again. It's going to be full of fish. All you fishermen would like that. And the other part of it's going to be going into the Mediterranean. And along the sides of this river, trees are going to grow, the leaves for the healing of the nations and fruit. And it's going to be heaven on earth again, the way God intended it in the garden. And this statement about the river is a foreshadow of that river that day that's going to be flowing under the threshold of the door, out of the temple, and it's going to make the world like it was in the days of Adam before the fall. It's going to be a glorious thing. We're going to see it. We're going to rule and reign with Him. Amen. And so why do we need to be afraid? God is our refuge. He's our strength, the present help in trouble. And there is a river, the streams whereof are going to make glad the city of God. And it says, God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Reminds us of that great old hymn, doesn't it? We shall not be moved, just like a tree planted by the water. Amen? Amen. David the psalmist wrote, "Blessed is a man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sits in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he meditates day and night." He's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Brings forth his fruit in its season, his leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does prospers. Well, you don't have to wait for Jesus to come back. There is a river today for you, church. There is a river for me. There is strength. The God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. Praise God. And God shall help her in that right early. Now, if you're watching by Facebook, and maybe you're not a believer, you're just scrolling through these pages, and he says, the heathen rage. I'm not calling you a heathen, but if you're not born again, God calls you a heathen. You need to get saved. The heathen rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, as we approach the coming of the Lord, one of the most fearful things to be is a person who's never been born again, who's never made Jesus their Lord and your Savior. And when I've talked to people about the Lord, sometimes they rage. Sometimes they get mad at me. I have loved ones that have disowned me because I've made statements about certain lifestyles, and that's not a real popular thing to say in these days. But you know, Jesus said that in the last days, sometimes a man's enemies will be in his own home. Sometimes as Christians, we got to be tough-skinned. We need to love the sinner but hate the sin. Amen. And we don't always understand why things happen, but we will by and by. I think about the words of that song, "By and By," and it says, "And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by." And we won't always understand why the heathens rage. We won't always understand why we're persecuted when we love people and try to warn them, but we will by and by. It's all right. God is our refuge. God is our strength. a very present help in time of need. Amen. And so the Lord says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolation he has made in the earth. He makes wars to cease, and to the end of the earth he breaks the bow. He cuts the spear asunder, and he burns the chariots of fire. I don't know if you've ever listened to some of the testimonies of the Israelite army during the Six-Day War in 1967. But I tell you, God was pretty amazing during those days. There was times when things were shot at them that just magically fell out of the air as the Lord breaks the arrows. There was the story of them realizing, a bunch of troops, that they were in the middle of a minefield, and they were afraid where they would step when they finally realized. And all of a sudden, this wind off of the ocean, off of the Mediterranean, began to blow so hard that these troops had to lay flat on their belly, spread eagle, holding on to something so they wouldn't blow away. And when it finally ended, God blew the topsoil off of every one of those mines so they could safely walk through. You know, we can trust God in times of trouble. He makes war to cease, and to the ends of the earth he breaks the bow and cuts the spear asunder. He burns the chariots with fire. And of course, Pharaoh understood that, didn't he? A little too late. When those chariots were caught in the mire, and the horse and rider drowned in the sea, and Miriam grabbed that tambourine and wrote a song about it. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, the horse and rider drowned into the sea. And so, you know, what is man that we should be afraid of him? The Lord is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen. And so we are told to be still and know that I am God. Just to be still. Just to calm ourselves. That's not always easy to do. I've had some things going on lately in my life of the last, really, about year, 6 months. And I've have had some struggles with being still and knowing He's God. I've had some struggles with finding peace. In fact, I read Galatians 6 out loud over and over the last few weeks because, you know, Galatians 6 was that chapter that Martin Luther, that it broke through all of that. All of that religious stuff, you know. Religious stuff is that thing where man tries to save himself by what he does. And Martin Luther was a monk, and he was struggling with trying to be as holy as he could, and he was feeling frustrated. If you try to be holy, you're going to get frustrated too, because you can't be holy in yourself. Amen? And God got a hold of him in Galatians that the just live by faith. And that long before the law, 430 years before the law, God made a promise to Abraham, and when he believed it, he was justified. And you know, if you're watching by Facebook and you're trying to do everything right and be everything holy and you're frustrated, learn a lesson from Martin Luther and just begin to trust Christ as your righteousness by faith, and God will take care of everything else. Be still and know, he said, that I am God. You know, because He's God, He can do what I can't do. He can make a sinner righteous. He can make a harlot holy. He can make a liar pure and clean and righteous. Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the heathens. You know, one day soon, that eastern sky is going to open and Jesus Christ is coming again. And the dead in Christ will rise, and we which are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And Paul said, go ahead and just comfort one another with these words. And it doesn't matter what you're going through, I have good news. Jesus Christ is coming again. And it's going to be all right. So be still and just know that He is God. And he said, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. This is repeated from verse 7. I like it when God repeats Himself, because sometimes I need to hear it twice before it sinks in, don't you? In verse 7 he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In verse 11 he says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. If you forget it, go ahead and read those verses 3 or 4 times this week. Guess what? The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, and therefore I will not fear. Now, I like to think about people who fear. The reason I like to think about that is it doesn't make me feel quite as much a dirty, rotten sinner as I am most of the time. It comforts me that the Bible shows me real people with real problems just like me. I think about Abraham. Abraham was the father of faith. And yet twice in Genesis we read him saying to Sarah, "Go ahead and say you're my sister because they'll probably try to kill me and take you. You're so beautiful." Now, ladies, I have news for you. This woman was 70 years old and apparently just a knockout beautiful woman. So Sarah's got something on all of the women, I think. But he lied. He lied because he was fearful. And this is the father of faith. You see, we can come to church and we can hear this and we can go home and we can say, "Boy, I need to hear that." And then on Tuesday afternoon or Thursday night, we begin to look at our own hang-ups and our own weaknesses. We begin to say, "Well, that's good for the preacher, but he doesn't know what I'm going through." Abraham had fear. Abraham had fear. And because he had fear, he responded out of fear. You know, when we respond out of fear, nothing good will come from it. Thank you for that 1 a.m. I'm going to say it again. When we respond out of fear, nothing good will come from it. All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mike. Mike got the cue, brother. All right. So who else responded out of fear? There's fear. We talked about Peter in the boat. We talked about others, you know. If you respond out of fear, it's because of one of two things. The first one is that the fear is greater than your faith. That's kind of really, it sounds overly simple, but it's quite profound when you think about it. Years ago when I used to do kids ministry, and I know some of you guys have heard me tell this story before, we used to have those plastic Laffy Taffy containers with the little round Tupperware type lid. And when I took an empty one and I wrapped it in paper so you couldn't see in it, and I wrote Faith Fear Box. And every week when I did kids ministry, I would put different things in there. One time I broke up a whole bunch of dried leaves. It was the fall of the year. And I told them that it was full of dead bugs, filled like dry dead bugs. And they would have to, "Do you have faith or do you have fear?" And those kids, surprisingly, the girls had more faith than the boys did. And they were the first ones wanting to stick their hand in that thing. I put spaghetti in there one time and told them it was someone's brains. Just all kinds of crazy stuff. But you know, I think sometimes God tests us with a faith fear box. He tests us to see if we're going to have faith, if our faith is higher than our fear. We're always going to have fear. As I said at the beginning, fear is an emotion that God gives us. But our faith needs to be higher than our fear. It needs to be greater than our fear. And a good thermostat, if you will, is when you have fear, how do you respond? And if you respond in the way God doesn't want you to respond, if you can't muster enough faith to overshadow the fear, then even that's not bad because it's a thermostat for where you're at and where you need to be. You say, "Lord, I realize that my fear is greater than my faith in this test. What can I do?" Sounds like a commercial for our weekly reading, doesn't it? Because the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so as I said, I want to really kind of start 2021 with a big push of back to the Bible. And if you're not really having a very good quality time reading your Bible, let's just make one of those New Year's resolutions, hopefully we keep. Say, "You know, Lord, Brother Roger's right. I really need to make a fresh commitment to reading my Bible because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And if my faith is going to be greater than my fear, the only way that's going to happen is if I exercise my spiritual right to read and to meditate on the Word of God." Amen. The Word of God is our light, and it's our source of inspiration. In Proverbs it tells us, "That word is a lamp to our feet and a light to my path." And I heard a preacher one time say this, so it wasn't mine, but I think he's right. Back in those days, they didn't have one of those 50,000-watt flashlights. They had a lantern, and that light was just about enough light in darkness to see about two paces in front of you. And you know, really, that's what faith is. Faith is walking those two paces that you can see, and you don't know what's out on the other side of there. You don't. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, right? And so you're never gonna see that far spiritually. You'd like to, but you just won't. And so you have to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? And when we begin to exercise our faith, we begin to walk by faith and not by sight, when we begin to feed our spirit man and make him stronger so that our faith is stronger than our fear, then you can say what the psalmist said, God is my refuge and my strength, a very present help in trouble. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for each person here and those watching by Facebook. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the psalmist who reminds us that you're our strength, that you're our hiding place, that you're our help. And Lord, I just pray for those that are here or watching, and maybe you're going through a struggle right now. Maybe your faith is not as strong as your fear. I just pray, Lord, that you would encourage them not to give up, not to feel weary in well-doing, but to press on, to begin to seek you, Lord. You promised that if we seek you with all our heart, we'll find you, that you're not that far away to anyone who is hungry for God. And so we pray, Lord, that those whose fear is greater than their faith, that they would begin to seek you in 2021, that they would open their Bibles and begin to have that personal time every day that they spend with you. They turn off TV or radio or distractions, and they get in that quiet place, and they experience that river that we spoke about. For Lord, there is a river wherewith makes glad the city of God. There is a river that can flow, wash out fear, anxiety, depression, discouragement. There is a river that is given by God for us, and it's waiting for each of us to tap into it as we seek you and find you by faith in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Give someone a big hand clap, a hug if they're willing to take it before you.